thank you for coming. I hope to just be a help to you. when they first originally asked me to do this a long time ago, and they kind of left it up to the workshop speaker, at least for the teens, of what we wanted to do. My biggest thing, since I have two daughters, and I think my parents did a good job, my biggest thing was there's so much, and you hear this in the world even say this, but drama. Girls, there's always drama with girls. And you know what? Scripture has something to say about that. And I don't think we have to be drama queens. I think there is a right reaction. So that's what we're going to look at today. You may be thinking of the person, but don't tell me who it is. But let's start off with prayer first, and then we'll jump right in. Father, we thank you for the Word of God, and thank you for, more importantly, what you've done for us and saving us and the power we gain from salvation and how you look down on us now with your Son's righteousness. And we praise you for that. And I ask that you meet with us right now, help clear our thoughts and be able to glean something from the Word of God that would encourage us or direct us or maybe even rebuke us some. We again praise you for who you are and what you've done in us. And we ask all these things in your name. Amen. All right, so I'm going to ask for a little bit of participation from you all. Got a few questions to get us thinking in the right way here. The whole idea of this workshop is expectations. You think of any time you get upset or something gets under your skin, what is it usually? It's usually because you expected something or someone to act a certain way. You expected something to happen, and it didn't. And so it's natural to react to that. So that's basically what expectation means. I looked up in the dictionary last night, and that's what it said. You know, having that hope of the future, of something to happen, or having that desire from that certain person to act a certain way or do a certain thing. You expect something to happen, and when it doesn't. So, you help me out. I was a teenager a while back. Not too long ago, but a while back. As you are sitting here, what are some of your expectations, let's think of more specifically, for the future? What personal things. Be thinking of yourself. What are some things you expect to happen? And I mean like distant future, in the future. You tell me. Yes. To go to college. I have that one. Yes, Joy?
To get married.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. What else in the distant future? Anything else? I don't need to pull things out of you. There's nothing else. Do what?
Farm.
Have a farm. Which could go along with a family, a career. You have that goal of what you want to do or what you hope to do. It could be even once my kids are raised, I hope I can do this or whatever, or weather, whatever you're doing. Okay, now let's back it up some. What's your expectation for 2012? What do you think hope happens? I hope to graduate from high school. I don't know if any of you are old enough for that yet. I hope to get my driver's license. What are some of your expectations for this year in 2012? Joy, you have one?
I hope I can vote.
Yeah, that's a great one.
I hope I can get my permit.
Yeah, driving. I'm so glad to be past that stage.
Join the college as well.
Mm-hmm. And you expected in April?
Oh, to be able to go to
LA. Yeah. Mm-hmm. We can talk about that later. No, it's good. Yes, Katie. Yes.
Yeah.
Same thing. How many are hoping to get the driver's license? Let's just get it all out there. Yes. Yes. Not right now. All right, so then let's bring it back to today. What are your expectations of today? What did you expect to happen today? What did you expect to learn? What? Think through that. Because believe it or not, we have expectations and we may not even realize that. Sometimes we don't even know until it doesn't happen. And then you realize in your reaction, oh, I expected. So think for a second. What were you expecting today? Sure, I mean, I know we were probably all tired. I was tired getting up this morning, so it was luckily I got dressed, let alone thinking of what I hoped for today. But I expected to sell our jewelry. We have the angel beads vending table. That was one of my expectations today. to sell all of our jewelry. What did you expect today? Yes. Mm-hmm. That's good. Expecting growth in your spiritual walk. Yes, Joy?
I'm expecting that I can sell all my magnets.
She has a table too, with little magnets, really cute. That's fine. Good. Good expectation. Enjoy time. You're here with your mom and sisters. Enjoy that time. And friends, too. Anything else? All right. So the whole point of this is we have expectations. They're there. We set them there. Again, whether or not we know it, they're there. What we need to often control and watch out for is our reactions to those expectations that are not met. What are the feelings? What are some of our reactions when things, our expectations are not met? Much disappointment, yes. Very disappointed. Mm-hmm.
Frustrated.
I probably should say this so people can hear. Questioning why, getting frustrated.
Anger.
Yes, getting angry at times. Tears. Yes. Getting bitter, letting it sit on you and thinking and thinking and thinking. That's what happens. My example in my life of an unmet expectation had to do around my wedding. And girls, let me just say this. Your wedding doesn't have to be stressful. Mine, for the most part, was a wonderful time. I was twirling my thumbs at the end, waiting just to get married. I really didn't stress over things, but there was one thing that I expected and did not come the way I thought it was going to come. To the point where I can remember the day walking into my reception after we just got married and having that, what in the world? That's not what I ordered. That's not what, because I hadn't even seen it yet. And that was my wedding cake. Okay. To you, you may look at this and think, oh, it looks fine. And it is fine. And I'm not complaining. But it was an unmet expectation. And honestly, if I dwell on it, I can get upset. I can. And I think some of it is because I wasn't picky with my wedding. I really wasn't. But this was one thing. I had a picture I gave to the cake lady. I said, this is what I want. In fact, she was trying, you want more of this? I said, no, I just want it simple, plain. I want it elegant and, you know, kind of dainty and just pretty. I don't want anything elaborate. And she did for the most part, except for this. And again, you may not think twice about this, but this was an unmet expectation for me. Here's my wedding cake. Okay. To me, it's big and chunky. These little balls, which may not look too big, they were supposed to be like little pearls around. I wanted things dainty. And I looked at it and I thought, those are huge. I know it doesn't look like that to you. That's because I had an expectation. I had a picture in my mind. I actually had a real picture. And this is not what it looked like. It's close, but the layers are bigger. I was supposed to have 4 layers, not 3 layers. And then she was supposed to set the cake up for me. Notice that it's just sitting on the foiled wrap piece of cardboard on the bottom. It was supposed to have a pretty tray on it. My bridesmaids' flowers were supposed to be pretty wrapped around it. They were all over here, which you see I got barely 2 of them in. All these things. To you, you're thinking, no big deal. But to me, it was a big deal because that's not what I expected. All right, now this is my wedding, so I didn't get all upset. Inside, I was like, wow, that's not what I ordered. So the deal is, how do we react? And this is where the drama comes in with girls. We all have seen, maybe you haven't, if you've watched any bit of a little bit of TV of some of these wedding shows and somebody doesn't get what they want, it's, and that's so unbiblical. No matter what, it's very unbiblical, period. But that's how we can, whether we react like that or whether we stew inside, it's still not right. It's still not what God expects from us. And we don't need to be drama queens. We don't need to be girls that get upset over the smallest things. We need to learn to control our reactions to those unmet expectations. My oldest daughter, who will be turning 7 here in just about, well, next Saturday, she is my weepy one. She's my emotional one. The smallest things can get her, you know, mommy and all this. And my biggest thing is, Karis, it's not a big deal. This is small. You're crying over nothing. And you have to understand, everything's big in our own eyes, and that's fine. But there is that control that we need to have. So what do we do? What do we do with this? Do we change our expectations? Do we need to change our reactions? Do we just need to drop all expectations, say, oh, whatever, you know, which some of you probably never could do anyway. It's a little bit of everything, maybe. A little bit of changing what you expect, a little bit of changing your reaction. So I want to go back. And first I want to look at Leah's life in the Bible. You remember Leah? She married Jacob. Do you remember the whole, but it was supposed to be her sister Rachel. Let's look at Leah. Imagine being in Leah's shoes, what we know of her. And it's in Genesis 29. I'm not going to take you verse by verse, but that's the past. That's where we're looking the story from, if you ever want to look back to yourself. But you look at what we know about Leah. It talks about not being pretty. Something obviously was different with her eyes, whether it's just she didn't have that glow. Nobody really knows, but we do know this. She wasn't gorgeous. Here her sister is engaged to get married to Jacob before her. Who's the older one, Rachel or Leah? Leah. Who should probably be getting married first in everybody's logical mind? She'd be Leah. You know, I'm sure that was a desire of her heart. So there's a lot of things working against her. And all she probably wants and would desire, as any of us, as God has placed in us, is to have that marriage with that man who loves you. Nobody wants a husband that doesn't love you. You want to be loved. And that's where Leah, and did she get that in her marriage? No. You know what, girl? She died not having a husband who truly loved her. She went to her grave that way. So here's a girl who has what we might think every right to be upset. Now, she wasn't perfect. We see where she definitely, there was sister rivals going on and all that stuff. And she was part of that as well. And I honestly think she was even, how much a part of it, she at least went with it in the whole deception in her marriage with Jacob. Obviously, she wasn't, you know, chained and had to do this. So I think there was probably a desire in her of, no, I don't want to, but, oh, yes, I would like to. I think there's all that. So she's not perfect, obviously, but her circumstances are against her. And her expectation of being loved never happened. And she died not fully understanding her miserable marriage had a beautiful purpose. Does anybody know what came from Leah? Or what Leah is in? What's that? Well, Joseph. But go on down. Okay, go on down. The most important thing in our life and salvation, Jesus' line. She is in Jesus' line. Not beautiful Rachel, her sister. No, Leah is. What an honor. And what I want to point out is even though she's in Jesus' line, that's part of the gospel. That was God working out a purpose in Leah's life, as miserable as it may have been at times, as much as she may not have wanted it, working out in her life so we might have the gospel. What a beautiful picture. And what I want to base this on, because I think we can talk about changing expectations and reactions and stuff, we got to go back to the beginning, to why we even had the ability to change. And you know where that starts with? The gospel. The gospel not only saved you from eternity, but it changes you every day. The gospel is your foundation for today and making right choices and doing what's right and pleasing our Lord. It's the power of the gospel. This is something I'm still wrapping my mind. It's not anything new, but when you live in light of the gospel, a lot of things change. You think of, let's see here. Well, let me put it this way. The gospel was key in her life, and it is in ours too. And the gospel does directly affect our expectations, and it directly affects our reaction to those expectations when they're not met. So what do we do? Let me give you a few steps, and we'll see how this all still points back to the cross. So what do we do? I think the first thing it starts with, and this may be more on, well, anything, and setting your expectations and reacting right, it starts with your mind. 2 Corinthians 10:5. Can somebody look that up for me? 2 Corinthians 10:5. Sword drill. Who's going to be first? Did you guys have sword drills? I grew up with sword drills. Oh. Joanna got it first. We'll let her go. Nice and loud. 2 Corinthians 10:5.
We are destroying speculations and every lofty thing raised up against the knowledge of God, and we are taking every thought captive to the obedience of Christ.
All right, this is talking about our mind. Every thought that comes into our mind, we're taking hold of it and we're casting it down if it's going against what we know is truth. This is true of your expectations and setting your expectations and reacting to it, which I think is even more important. In reacting to that moment those thoughts cross your mind, that moment I begin to dwell on that cake not being the way I want it, what do I need to do? Stop. Stop it. I had, in our youth group, we had a youth couple that helped us out, the Woods. Jean Wood, I loved her dearly. She was not old lady, she was just older. She was in her 50s, so she grounded us because we're all so young, of course. And one of the things she would say over and over is there are times where you have to talk to a lot of times, you have to talk to yourself. You have to tell yourself what is truth, because we run on emotions, we run on feelings, and they lead us astray. You have to talk yourself through what you know is true, which is the Word of God. It is. So in these situations, when you come to a point, especially a big one or whatever it is, it's that moment where you're casting it down. No. What do I know is true? So where do you go from that? Okay, I cast the thought out. Now what do I think? Oh, it's okay. No big deal. Well, somewhat. But take it back to the cross. And it can be something as insignificant as a silly wedding cake. But in that moment, I'm feeling myself get upset. No, I don't need to think of this. You know what? This doesn't matter. Look what I have in Christ. I have all I need. He gave me eternal life. I have the power to fight temptation. He's given me a wonderful husband. And guess what? That little cake just seems so insignificant and not important. It's talking yourself, talking through the truth, what you know. Capture your mind and think on Jesus. Hebrews 12:9 talks about Jesus enduring persecution from people and what they said. Why? In the end, he endured that to shed his blood for me, to shed his blood for you. That's where we get salvation. That's where we get a changed life, is what was done on the cross for us. And you bring that to the forefront of your mind, and boom, oh, not such a big deal. Paul talks about this in 2 Corinthians 12:9, and about his thorn in the flesh, wanting to get rid of a problem that he had, whatever it may be, and the Lord finding it fit not to doing it. And you know, he talks about why is he going to endure this, and why is he not going to complain about that thorn in the flesh? Because it's for Christ's sake. What did Christ do for me on the cross? Surely I can endure whatever it is here on earth for his sake. No matter how much it might upset my basket, no matter how much pain it may bring me. Some unmet expectations bring a lot of sorrow and pain. They may not be as insignificant as a little cake. They may be something big. A loved one forsakes you. A mom and dad, after many years of marriage, get a divorce. That's an unmet expectation. Nobody wants or expects their parents to get a divorce. Nobody wants or expects a sibling to die. Nobody wants or expects when they get married to get a divorce or whatever it may be. Those are huge things and they bring great sorrow and pain. But even something as big as that still does not compare to what Christ did for us on the cross and shedding his blood and Jesus dying for us and having his Father turn his back on him. That compares, makes everything seem so small. So it's getting in your mind, capturing your mind first. I think of this is a little bit outside of box here, but in anybody that commits sin, because I think the mind is the battleground. Well, it's a battleground area, but anybody that commits what we might think horrible sins, a murderer, those who get into moral sins, whatever it may be, where did they start? Did they grow up saying, I am going to kill somebody one day? Yes, that's my goal. No. Where did that start? In the mind. It might have been something they saw, but they keep feeding it and feeding on it and feeding on it. And what goes in the mind becomes what's in the heart. All right? So that's why even in something areas such as our reactions to unmet expectations, you've got to bring your mind under captivity. Bring it on the truth that you know. Take it back to the cross. We had, actually, it's your uncle. I still just never forget this. He talks, he's a pastor in California, and he came and spoke at our church. And he was specifically talking about the gospel. He was talking about it in marriage. And he was talking about a couple who he had to counsel who were having marriage problems. I know you guys aren't there, right? Well, I hope you're never there. But I know you're not in that stage of life. But he said he spent months, I'm going to say almost up to 6 months, counseling this. And you know all that he talked about was the gospel. That's all he talked. He didn't talk about all their different problems and what's breaking up the marriage. Because ultimately, if their heart's not, he got to make sure they're saved and that they understood. And the more they, as he put it, sat at the cross, stood there at the cross, the more their problems actually got resolved or could be resolved. Because nothing compares to what Christ did for us on the cross. It is all about perspective here on earth. It is all about perspective. So take your problems, bring into captivity, take it back to the cross, lay it there and say, okay, this is not that big. Or, you know what? God's grace will get me through this hard time. It does hurt. And it's a big deal. God knows things are big deals in our life. This is a big deal, but his grace will give me the strength to get through this. I need to calm down. I don't need to think on this all, you know, you just talk truth. Talk yourself through. It's very important. So that's, it starts in the mind. And then another thing to remember is that your reactions, when you do react, it is a good temperature of what your heart is like. Read a little book. Your reactions are showing. Your heart is showing. That moment you say something you shouldn't have said, that moment you act out in anger. There's been one time with my children that they did something and I got so upset, I grabbed them real quick. And that scared me because I thought, where did that come from? It came from my heart is where it came from. Now we're sinful and that's why our hearts are desperately wicked. But I need to guard that. I could become that awful, mean mother, angry, filled with anger when they do something they're not supposed to do. I don't want to be that way. And that was a revelation because we can fool ourselves and think we're pretty good. I'm doing okay. Until that moment you react. Because that thing, and that is a revelation of your heart. So take a step back when you react to things. Was that really biblical? That wasn't very good. Ooh, I need to be careful. That's a lot worse than I expected. I need to get into there and see what's wrong. Lord, help me see what I'm doing wrong or where my mind is and do all those things. So don't be a drama queen. Step back and take a look at your heart. And see what needs to change. And then kind of last thing is realize, and I like this, realize that disappointments are gifts. I can't help but still going back to Leah's life. Because there's a lady that she had children. So there was definitely some joy in her life. But to know that she never had her husband's heart. And that's one thing God put in us to want when we get married is to have our husband's heart. And she never had that. She went to her grave like that. But that was still a gift. She just didn't realize it. She knows it now. But that was a gift. Disappointments are gifts. God is still sovereign. And there are things that happen to us, big or small, that are gifts. It's his molding. It's his teaching us. It's his stretching us. It's directing us. It's guiding your family in a certain way, guiding you in a certain way. It may hurt. And I tell girls, cry. If you need to cry, cry. I am not a crier. I don't know why I think I don't need to cry. In fact, I hate crying. I feel vulnerable. I feel like a little wimpy person, and I don't like that feeling. But there are times you need to cry. I remember I had a miscarriage 2007 or something like that. And I remember the week of when I realized and I went to the doctor and I was having a miscarriage, and the process was a little bit, for me, it was about a week long. And I actually miscarried baby. And I just remember standing in the kitchen just bawling. Nobody else was there, just weeping. And it did feel better to get that out. But you know what? I don't really do that now. And if I think on it, I can get really sad about the idea that we lost a baby. Oh, that's sad and everything, yes. But that's God's plan. I think if we had that baby, we wouldn't have our third one, Amberly. And she is such a joy. She's a little spitfire. I love her to death. I'm sure I would have loved the other baby too. But You need to cry, but then you need to move on. And you need to guard your emotions and bring them. And that all comes from understanding what Christ did on the cross for you. Because you realize when he died, his righteousness was placed on you. So now, assuming you're all saved in here, when God looks down on you, what does he see? Does he see our desperately wicked heart? Because that's not getting us to heaven. What does he see? He sees his son's righteousness on us. And now that we are his and have his son's righteousness, Ephesians talks about the riches we have in him, the inheritance we have in Christ. And one of the things we have, because we are his children, is the power to fight sin. Not because it's of us, but we get it from the Lord. And where does that all come from? The gospel. What Christ did on the cross for us. Back there to the power of I can think right. I can react right in this situation. Because girls, nobody likes to think this way. But you are going to have hurt. You are going to have relational problems. You may, as much as we guard our hearts and try to be careful of who, what boy we're with, you may have breakups that are going to crush your heart. You're going to have children. You're going to lose babies. You could lose a child. You could have children whose heart you lose and who choose to do a different way. We've been in the youth ministry for 11 years. We've seen enough teens who've grown up and do not choose to live right. And I can't help but think their parents must be heartsick seeing their children not choosing to do what's right. There's going to be heartache. There's going to be those expectations. I said my title, Happily Ever After, because that's what we want. We want that life. We want the American dream, that house with the little picket fence and how many kids, 3 kids you have or 2 or whatever, that wonderful husband and those beautiful cars. And that's not life. Wait to see how expensive it is, too. But that's not life. That's not how it works. You have children who lie to you. Our oldest is about ready to turn 7, and it's fun as she's getting older, but it's getting uglier. Her sins are getting uglier. She has trusted Christ. So there are moments we see growth, and then there are moments you think, what in the world? Where did you come from? Not from me. You have letdowns. People fail you. Your husband's going to fail you. Your best friend's going to fail you. Your mom and dad are going to fail you. You're going to lose things. It's full of it. And I'm not here, obviously, you know this, but I'm not here to make you discouraged. I'm here to let you know that those disappointments, they're gifts. And you can see it in Scripture time after time after time. A hardship in somebody's life was just God working in their life to a greater plan and a greater purpose. And that's where our mind needs to be. So if you're going to walk away, there's 2 things I want you to remember. First of all, that disappointments are gifts. As hard, as painful, as silly, as insignificant as they may be, they are gifts from the Lord. He has a course for your life. They are gifts. And number 2, talk to yourself. Talk truth to yourself. If you're struggling, go to a friend. Tell me. Tell me what I need to know. Tell me what I'm not thinking right. There are times where I have to bring myself and say, Bryn, this is silly. Get it to gear. This is ridiculous. You're overreacting. It's not that bad. Sometimes it's even thinking, I do not have it bad. Even look at the person next to me. I don't have it like their situation. Why am I making a fuss over this? It's bringing your mind into captivity and thinking right. Does that make sense? I don't know if that was a help to you all or not. But it's a good reminder. Because whether you think you, I've always thought myself of a pretty, my parents were very good at even Steven, you know. I remember as a little kid, if I got too emotional or started whining about something, and my mom would just give me the look, and I would have to, I'm happy. To as a teenager, Bryn, not a big deal. And my mom's favorite phrase, don't make a mountain out of a molehill. And honestly, that's wonderful teaching that. What I hope to give you today is the foundation to it, and that is look back to the gospel. Yes, don't make a mountain out of the molehill, but look to why we shouldn't. Look what's been done for us. Look at the grace we have because of the gospel to get us through this difficult time. This is a gift. Doesn't make sense, but it is a gift. We have a lot. You think of the lost out in the world. who lose things, lose people, lose relationships. What do they have to turn to? I don't know. They find something, but it's shallow. We have the gospel. We have Lord Jesus Christ and his grace and his comfort. So watch your reactions. Watch your I didn't hit on the expectations so much. That is as you grow, as you earn the word of God, you pray, and the Lord, and you know, there's still things in my almost 11 years of marriage. I'm still thinking, oh, I probably shouldn't expect. I'm that of my husband. I shouldn't expect because that's just not him. And I'm just getting myself all frustrated. I need to tweak this. I shouldn't expect of my kids this because they're only 5 or they're only 2 or whatever they are. You learn as you go. And that's the Lord's discernment and wisdom in your life to know how to set right expectations. But regardless, they're still not going to be met because we live in a sinful world. I think I'm done early. Sweet and short and to the point. Okay, so this is what I have. Because I wouldn't want anybody's expectations not to be met. To give a little taste. Well, actually, I am going to do that. We're going to do a little bit of door prizes. I'm winging this. I just thought, oh, we have some of these at the table. Let's have fun. So these are just little things we've put together. Nothing fancy, but they can make an outfit because I like jewelry. Anybody else like jewelry in here? I like jewelry. Okay. So we'll do this first. I just celebrated my birthday. So, not too long ago. Are there any, because my favorite month, since it's my birthday month, are there any February birthdays? You may stand up, February birthdays. Oh, that's right, I forgot, Katie, your February birthday. All right, you ladies may have a necklace. It's your lucky day. Everybody else react correctly, okay? All right, this is a little test. I don't know what you want, but you can come up here and pick what you want. Go right ahead. And if you absolutely do not like any of these, you're welcome to trade one downstairs. We have more downstairs. It's okay, Joy. They can take their time. We got time to spare. So my birthday gift to you all February people, not to let any of you all out. All right, so let's think for a minute. Let's try to apply what we just learned. We'll have a little teaching time. Let's take some situations. Because this is what I'm finding. And this is for me a transformation. No, I'm going to say transformation. It's a change in my thinking. I'm trying to bring things, if you didn't get it, back to the gospel in my life. I'm trying to, if I need to counsel somebody, take them there first. And then go through. So, let's think of a situation. All right, you guys are in high school. All right. Oh, here we go. It's a big deal to you at this time. Down the road, it isn't a big deal. But you get that test back. And it's not the grade you were hoping for. Or you were expecting to get. Obviously, big test. It could be you even studied for it. I mean, you took a lot of time. And you still didn't get that grade. At that moment, and that may be more frustration. And maybe you're frustrated with the teacher. You don't feel like, but I did it. I don't understand. Maybe they're essays. I do not like essays. They're hard, so you don't understand how they graded your essay. At that moment, as something as grades that are a big deal to you at this point, again, I don't even remember my grades now, but at that moment, how do you handle that expectation? What do you start telling yourself in your mind when you're getting so disappointed, upset, maybe even a little angry if you're upset with the teacher? You tell me, what do I need to tell myself? How would you work? Yes. Yes, you can be an encouragement to yourself. There's always a next time, unless it's the last test of the year. But no. Yes. See if there's a way to fix it. See if you can try to gain understanding. These are all ways you kind of put out the fuse of what's bottling up inside, maybe. What else? What would you do? How would you talk to yourself? It's only one test. And it is. Yes, it may be a big test, but it is only one test. There will be another time.
It's not a big deal.
And that's kind of fun to say. Not a big deal. Not a big deal, it's just a test. But not a big deal in the sense this is not going to end my life. This is not. There is another day. Okay, so what about if, let's see here, what's another situation we can talk ourselves through? What if you failed the driver's test? This is hitting some buttons, huh? You're all a little nervous about this. You failed the driver's test. Not only did you fail it, now you got to tell your friends you didn't pass it yet. You're going to have to take it over again, get all the nerves. Did you have to take yours over? Oh, no. Oh, you took care of one problem. Don't tell anyone. But what do you do in that disappointment? Because it is fun to get your driver's license. There's something fun about that. You're growing up. You're becoming responsible. How do you deal with something like that? Is everybody going to know that day? Oh, man, something is wrong with her today. So how do you talk yourself through that? Yes. Talk yourself instead of stewing over what I missed in this. And, you know, you may need to cry. Go ahead and cry a tear or two if you have to, but move on. Don't let people know that that day was a bad day. Or let's get a little bigger. Let's say, what's a bigger deal? Let's say that special someone, we're assuming you're a lot older now. You don't care about this right now. But that certain someone decides that they are not interested in you and maybe would not like to spend as much time with you. Oh, my soul, that's huge. And as girls, can you believe he's, you know, we can go off. What do we do in that situation? That hits home. That hurts a little bit more because now you're dealing with people. So how do we talk ourselves through that one?
Just remember that God is your closest friend.
Yes. As much as we enjoy that, that's a very good point. I don't have to have him. Because I have all I need. I have my Lord. That's all I need. That's hard, though. Yes, Joy.
Pray. You pray and ask God that it's his will to help the person.
That's where you find the grace from God to help you. He knows that's a big deal. He's the one that created us the way we are. He knows that. So he's going to give you the help to work through that hurt that's there. Yes?
You could look at that as God showing you that maybe not be the right person. Because if they don't care enough to spend time with you, then are they really going to care enough to spend the rest of their lives?
That could be very well God's protection on your life. He said, you know, that's a big choice when you're getting to the age, especially where it could end going towards marriage. That's huge. You know, the vow is till death do us part. So that's a big choice. So that could be God. It's a gift. Disappointment is a gift. He's protecting you for something down the road that you don't know about and can't see. So that's good. All right, well, we'll stop there. Thank you for coming. Thank you for coming today. I hope it's been a help. I know Mrs. Jones is a wonderful speaker to listen to. Much wisdom, much experience from her. So I hope you're gaining a lot. And I'll end with prayer and then I'll let you go. Father, again, we come to you just in awe of what you've done for us. And we're thankful that you're God that knows us. You've created us. You know we do set expectations. You know our feelings can get hurt. People can hurt us, wound us, even scar us. But thank you for the grace you give us to get through those times. Thank you that through disappointment, you are setting the course of our life. You have something better and bigger planned for us. So in the end, it truly is a gift. Please help these girls remember that. Don't know what their future holds. We would like to think it's happily ever after. And in your eyes, it can be, even though we may hurt at times. There is still joy when we are following you and obeying you. Again, we thank you for what you've done for us and how that's changed us. In your name, amen. All right, you're free to go.